right? Luke chapter 17, though, is where we're gonna finish up today. We won't be that long, but we talked about how that in Luke chapter 17, Jesus came into the certain village, and there he saw the 10 lepers, and I'm not going to spend a long time rehearsing the narrative that's given to us, but we know that Jesus came, and there was that guy and those guys that had that disease called leprosy, and sure enough, they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." We saw that, and then Jesus responded, "Hey, go show yourselves to the priest." And that's where we live. Jesus says, "Here's what I want you to do," and we kind of like, "Do I do it? Do I really trust him?" Now, people that trusted Jesus and obeyed Jesus in the Bible, you do the study, okay? Don't take it from some preacher, don't take it from your pastor, but I'm just telling you, people that obeyed and trusted the Lord, they saw the supernatural. Amen. Okay? They really did. Like, for instance, hey, we're going to beat Jericho. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to walk around the city one time for 6 days, on the seventh day, seven times, and when I give you the note, you're going to shout. And the walls are going to fall down. Now, everybody here is thinking, that is a dumb plan. Come on, Joshua, come up with something better than that, all right? But here's my question. Did it work? I'm with you. Some of God's ways of deliverance don't make any sense, humanly speaking. You would think, no, the only way you're going to beat Jericho is if we get some M1 tanks, okay? And these puppies can launch mortars and grenades and all kinds of shells into that thing, and we could blow that wall apart piece by piece. You know, the only way is if we drop some bombs from an Apache helicopter, you know? And that's how we'll do it. Well, remember, we're in Bible day. We haven't gotten that far yet, okay? But really, I believe that God's plan was a whole lot easier than our military's plan. I mean, wouldn't you believe? I mean, no one really had to die from Israel. Why? Because unless you die of heat exhaustion from walking around the city, you're probably pretty good, you know? If anything, you might get a little ridiculed. Look at the Jews. They're walking around the city. What, do they need to lose some weight today? What's wrong with these people? But truthfully, there's no harm, only victory. And I find that sometimes in our life, we go through it and God says, "Hey, this is what I want you to do." And we kind of, because we're bombarded with the world, at least I am, maybe you live under a rock somewhere. I'd like to join you in your rock, but most of us have to live in this place called the world. We're influenced by the news and the people we live with, our neighbors, our coworkers, the world that you work in. We're influenced by it. And so because we're so influenced by it, can I tell you this? When Jesus speaks, we kind of say, "Seriously? You want me to do what?" But when we say, "Okay, I'm at the end of my rope." You've been there, haven't you? Like, you don't know what to do to make the relationship right. That's the end of your rope. "I financially can't make it, Lord. What do I do?" And here's what he says. "Trust me." God, couldn't you come up with something better than that? "Go show yourself unto the priest." Really? That's all you can come up with? How is that going to help me? Here's where it lands. Do we trust him? Do we not trust him? You say, "Well, that's pretty simple, don't you think?" I know, isn't it? But we're not there yet. But the Bible says that these 10 guys were so far at the bottom of the rope, the bottom of the bucket, nothing left to live for, okay? You're in this leper colony, that they decide, even though it doesn't make sense, "I'm going to do what he says." The Bible says, and as they went, they were healed. And I tell you what, amazing, amazing to me that God, we serve that same God. And no matter what situation you're dealing with, God says, "Trust me, obey me, and I will show you what you're looking for." But the Bible says, even though that all of them were healed, get it, and one. You know, I like to stand up here and say, I'm just like the one. Yeah, I'm like the minority. But can I just be frank with you? I'm usually not the one. I'm like the nine. And so we love the blessings of God, don't we? How many of you like to be blessed by God? Huh? Sure. You know, everyone's like, yeah, preacher, I want to be blessed by God. Yeah, we all like to be blessed by God. But isn't it amazing, even though all of them were blessed by God, only one, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Now, before we get our spiritual long index fingers out and start pointing at everyone that's in the majority, would you just take a moment and ask God to show you which group you're in? Lord, you've blessed me. There's no doubt. We've talked about it. But God, in this area of my life, I've not turned back to you. I've turned from you. It's tough. Why? Because you're going to probably find out, like me, that we're really not like the one. We're not like the minority. We're excited. We're so thankful. God, man, I've been healed. I've been cleansed. I've experienced the supernatural. And boy, we're so excited. And God's like, whoa. Hey, what about me? We're like, see, God, this is so cool. And we kind of go off on our life. And God's like, yeah, but where are the nine? I cleansed every one of them. I healed every one of them. So the Bible teaches us that when you've been blessed by God, when I've been blessed by God, it ought to drive us to certain actions. And so the first action, obviously, we talked about this morning, was, hey, it should drive us to repent. It ought to drive us to turn back. Yes, do we go astray? Yeah, every one of us, there's no one here perfect, okay? All of us in our lives make mistakes. All of us make bad choices, okay? But I love what Matthew Henry said. Matthew Henry said this. He said, people are ruined not by doing what is amiss. That's but doing things by mistake, okay? But by doing it and not repenting of it. You get the idea? So, okay, something's in your life. Some cycle's in your life. Cycle of sin is in your life, okay? Preacher gets up, you read your Bible, maybe the evangelist comes. Why do I put my hand so short when the evangelist comes? I don't know, okay? But the evangelist comes and he brings truth to you, okay? He brings truth to you. Now, you got a choice, okay? You can receive that truth or you can reject that truth. I can't wait till that guy gets out of here. Man, I don't want to hear him ever again. I want to hear Pastor Whitman, okay? Now, that's impressive if someone doesn't say besides you, Pastor Whitman. Okay? So anyways, so truth is there. Now, what am I going to do with it? See, if you turn back, if you repent, here's what you do. You're going to receive that truth. If you don't and reject it, here's what you do. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for blessing my family. Thank you for the roof over my head. Thank you for the finances you gave me. But God, I don't want to turn back to you in this area of my life. I want to live it the way I want to live it. God says, no, wait a minute. I will get you where I want you. And so we looked at that. But I want to look at the second action you should be driven to. Notice with me. Look at verse number 15 again. He says, and one of them, when he saw the one that was turned back, saw that he was healed, been blessed of God, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. No, notice number two. The second action that I see, that this guy, the guy that's the minority, the guy that was healed, that turned back, he not only was driven to repentance, but number two, he was driven to rejoice. Do you see what your Bible says? What's interesting is that all 10 were healed. Get it? And I believe, get this, I believe that all 10 probably were rejoicing. Why? Because leprosy is life and death. It's not like, well, I got a bad cold, and, you know, I'm trying, hey, good cough, all right, at the time I said cold. That was pretty good, all right? I got a bad cold, and, you know, I don't know, you know, but I'll make it. No. Listen, that's not leprosy. Leprosy in the Bible day is, hey, I got leprosy, I'm done. I no longer will ever kiss my wife. I'll never be able to hug my kids. I'll never be able to go back into society. I am going to live secluded in this dark place over here called the leper colony till my death. So you're going to tell me you're not going to be rejoicing if you miraculously are healed? No, I think everybody, all 10 of them were rejoicing. But here's the difference. Some of them were giving God the credit, and some of them weren't. Let me rephrase it. There was one that was giving God the credit, and there were some that weren't. You know what I find in our lives? Is there anyone in this room that has never heard a preacher say, hey, we're supposed to be thankful in all things? Is there anyone here that's never heard that? You know, I'm not seeing any hands, okay? Why? Because the preacher preaches on it like every week. Come on! But in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. I mean, you could quote these verses. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, do all things without murmuring and disputings, you know? Come on, we could go on and on and on. We all know it, but here's the truth of the matter. We don't all do it. So then we wonder sometimes, God, why haven't I seen you do that miraculous hand in my life? I was telling Pastor, this summer has been a little bit different than we've had previous summers. This summer we're doing a huge house renovation. We've owned this house for like 24 years. And so our house was built in 1874, like 10 years after the Civil War, okay? And so there was an addition put on, a couple additions put on, and so we kept the original 1874, and we've gutted off the back half of the house, and we're in the process of working on this project this summer. So I really have 2 weeks of camp. I have one last week, and I've got one the week of the 15th of July. And so in the process between that, we're doing this construction project. Well, the whole project is challenging, okay, to say the least, because we're doing most of the work ourselves. And I have been in the trades all of my life. I started flooring at the age of 5, cut my thumb with my carpet knife. My dad was so proud. My mom hated it, okay? But if you look on my left wrist, I got 32 stitches on a scar, 16 inside, 16 outside. And that's back then. And I've been in the trade. So that aspect of it is not really been that overwhelming to me. Here's what's been overwhelming to me. We decided, our city says, you don't have to have plans. You can draw them yourself. So I thought, hey, that's easy enough. We'll draw some plans out. My wife's been working on this for years, you know. So this is the forever home. And so we've drawn out these plans. Everything's great. Well, then one day, you know, like you wake up in the middle of the night with a cold sweat because you don't realize something, and then all of a sudden you realize something. Well, I had one of those moments, and I didn't realize the engineering feat. So if you're an engineer here, bless you, okay? I don't know that kind of stuff, all right? But there's all kinds of pressure points, inertia, and all kinds of transfer of weight that, you know, a guy that's in a trade, we just read it off the print, you know, and it says, hey, put this beam here and put this LVL here, and that's good, you know, great. But when you don't have that, you really don't know, and you don't want to do it more than once. And so, Randy, that kind of phobia came upon me, and I was like, this is not good. Well, plans are really expensive to bring and have, you know, have plans drawn up. And so I was like, man, if I had to do this project all over again, very first thing, I would have an engineer come and draw up these plans so we don't have to guess, because I am don't want to waste money, don't want to waste time. Well, I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray. Pray. Now, what am I praying for? I don't really know, but I'm going to pray that we figure this out, because you know what the truth is? I don't want to mess this up. And so I've been praying, and I know Jess has been praying, and we're just praying, Lord, you gotta help me out here. I need some direction, what to do, what size beams to put in, what, because I asked six guys, I get six different answers. And so the building inspector is really the only guy that matters. And so sure enough, I've been praying and praying. Well, last week I was at a camp. This guy comes up to me, his name's Lee. He says, hey, Jake, brother. Well, they called me Mr. D. Mr. D, it's good to see you. You know, I'm from this. And I was like, hey, I've been to your town. You know, I preached in a meeting by your. And I, you know, next question guys always ask, hey, what do you do? He said, I'm a civil engineer. No. Really? He's like, yeah. I'm like, that is awesome. So tell me about what you do. Well, I take homes and I tell people, I don't draw architectural drawings, but I tell people what size beams, what size arch, what size span they can do. I'm like, really? I can't believe this. So, you know, the week goes on and I don't want to sound like a mooch, you know? So I'm not like pawing at him or anything, but I'm thinking, boy, it would really be good, Lord, if Lee could help me, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm just praying, Lord, open the door, open the door, open the door. So finally, Thursday, we're leaving Friday. Nothing has happened. I've talked to him a couple of times. He's come talk to me about some things that the Lord's working on his life about. I'm like, praise the Lord, you know, that's great. Thursday night around 4 o'clock, I said, well, I'm just going to ask him. The worst thing he could say is no. And so I went to Lee and I said, hey, man, I got a question for you. I said, this is going to sound dumb, and you're probably going to tell me, no, I don't do that kind of stuff, but could you help me? He's like, yeah, what do you need? He's like, well, I said, I'm doing this house project, and I just don't know what size beams and the engineering part of it. And, man, would you ever be able to, you know, lend me a hand in something like that? And, you know, how much would it cost? You know, because you always throw that in there, okay? How much would it cost? And, you know? He's like, Brother Jake, that's nothing. He said, here's what we'll do. There's a testimony service Thursday night. He said, after the testimony, we'll work on Thursday night, and then we'll get up early, and we'll do Friday. I've got my computer. We'll do it here. And so sure enough, listen to me. This is a miracle of God. And so I called Jess, and I said, baby, you won't believe this. I have met a civil engineer that does this, and we're not going to put it off. No, we're doing it tonight and tomorrow morning. So, man, we woke up at like 5:30 in the morning, and he's like, hey, I'll meet you at the coffee shop. And so here we are, man. He's got all these math numbers and formulas, and I mean, crazy, all right? He breaks open his computer, and listen to this. He does all the layout of our house for nothing. To God be the glory. Amen. Now get it. You say, why do you tell us that? Why? Because I want to rejoice with a loud voice that God can do anything. Amen. It is not coincidence that Lee came to junior high camp with no junior hires. Put that all together, folks. Why would you come to junior high camp if you didn't have a junior hire? But it's God. God knew that I needed that man's ability in my home. And God says, hey, would you trust me? Would you trust me? And when you do, watch. You're going to experience something that you said is going to cost $10,000. Having plans drawn up are 10 grand. Can I tell you? God says, wait a minute. I want you to rejoice. Here's the thing. When you get those plans and when you don't. See, we can all tell stories of God's deliverance. And boy, I'll be honest with you. We can raise our hands and say glory. Because we serve a great God. But can I tell you? We serve that same great God when things don't go our way. Amen. And can I tell you, I'll be honest with you, earlier in the week, things weren't going good at home. I was in PA. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't rejoicing. I was just like the nine. Can I tell you that's where we live? But you know the verses. Is there any exception clause when it comes to rejoicing? How about this one? Rejoice evermore. Where's the exception that you're putting in the clause that it's okay for you to gripe and complain? How about this one? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Where's the exception clause that you have justified your ability to gripe and complain? Where is it? Where is it? But listen, we do it all the time. I do it. My wife does it. And if we do it, I got just a sneaky suspicion you do it. And I preach against it. Isn't that sad? But the truth is when you've been blessed by God, here's what he says. This guy teaches us something. You ought to be driven back to turn back to the Lord. And here's what I find. Only those that have done the first one will do the second one. See, if you try to rejoice in all aspects of your life without turning back to the Lord, you're going to find it's very difficult. Why? Because you're trying to be pulled in two different directions. The world's going to convince you. The world is going to justify your complaining and griping as if it was okay for God, by God, to you to gripe and complain. And then you're going to read the Word of God. Then you're going to come to church and hear Pastor Whitman. Then you're going to hear the evangelist. Okay? You're going to hear him and you're going to say, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to gripe about my husband. I'm not supposed to complain about my wife. I'm not supposed to complain about my situation I'm dealing with in life. And God says, yeah. But you know when you come to that realization? Not when you're from God, but when you turn back to God. When you turn back to Jesus. Well, let me give you number three. We'll be done. Look with me at verse number 17. The Bible says, and Jesus answering said to this one who was healed that turned back and rejoiced, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Look at verse number 19. And he, Jesus, said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Let me give you the third action that I see that people should be driven to when they realize they've been blessed by God. Number one, to turn back, to repent. Number two, to rejoice. But number three, the third action, it should make us to be recharged. Understand the way of someone that had contracted this disease called leprosy. It was definitely a lonely way. It was definitely a despised way. Have you ever been in the restaurant and someone you're eating next to has something wrong with them? Maybe their ear is missing, or maybe they've been burned. Usually, don't we have to do this as parents? Kids, don't say anything. Right? You've been there, okay? Mom only has to give you the eye one time, all right? You know what that means. Miss Gail, would you like to give us a personal testimony?
Pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a preacher's kid, I know. But the truth is, listen, we're trying. Why? Because they're not like us. Well, can I tell you, these people over here were not like anybody else. Why? Because most people had the end of their nose. Most people had their earlobes. Most people had their toes. These people didn't. So they were despised. They were lonely. No one came and said, hey, let's go visit. No one came over for birthday parties. Would you want to? Okay. No one came over and said, hey, congratulations. You know, and you're not going to shake him, give him a high five, give him the rock. Why would you do that? Okay, they got leprosy. So think about the way of someone that had contracted this disease. Now listen to what Jesus says. Arise. Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Can I tell you? Don't you think it was a little re-energizing? Recharging? Don't you think there was a new level of excitement? Why? Life. I don't know about you, but one of the things after traveling, in the summer, I'm usually away from Jess for a week at a time, or my kids. Sometimes it has to be 2 weeks because I'm doing back-to-back camps, and maybe if I'm in North Carolina and my other camp is in Georgia, I don't fly from Chicago to North Carolina, back to Chicago, back to Georgia, back to Chicago. Okay, that's a little too much. So sometimes I just go from Chicago to North Carolina to Georgia and then come back. But let me tell you, the first thing I want to do is hug my wife. I can't even imagine being away for a year. I can't even fathom being diagnosed with a disease where I couldn't hug my kids. I couldn't be around those that love me and that I love them. But I tell you what, if that happened and I was cleansed and I was healed, you think this guy's full of energy now? I think I'd become Bapticostal. I think I'd be shouting and praising and walking on top of the air. Why? Because I've been made whole. I've been revived. I've been given a second chance. Hey, can I tell you? That's the God we serve. And maybe you're here and maybe you don't have a skin disease like leprosy, okay? I hope not. Especially today, I hope you don't. Because I probably shook your hand. I hope you don't have leprosy. But the truth is, all of us in this room have problems. You have problems, I have problems. And you know what? We get to have our great God do what only He can do for you and me. And when He does it, when you get to experience, I tell my kids, you got to experience the supernatural. Don't be content with just experience the natural. You got to experience the supernatural before you leave the house. Why? Because once they leave the house, guess what happens? They get bombarded with all the world. But if they experience the supernatural in your home, they'll never forget it. So you know what we do? Here's what we do. We don't keep what God does in our lives to ourselves. We include our kids in every aspect of it. You know why? Because one day they're never going to be able to say, well, we never saw Jehovah Jireh. No, not in our home. Matter of fact, I've had many times I've thought about doing this, having my kids stand up in revival meetings and just tell them, hey, Callie, tell them Jehovah Jireh. Tell them. Hey, Bryce, I want you to tell them the God who provides. I want you to tell them the God who protects. Go ahead, tell them. And give, now this isn't, hey, we've practiced this. This is just experiencing God. You know what I find about Jehovah Jireh? I don't like being in that spot. But I love the deliverance. I really don't like lacking. I don't like being in need. But I love seeing the God who can deliver. And can I tell you, when you start experiencing God's supernatural, you know what it does? You know what it does for this young lady and me? It gets us revived. It's like a breath of fresh air. Matter of fact, we were talking about our project, you know, and I said to her, I said, after Thursday night and Friday morning, it was late and early. I felt like I just had new life for this whole entire project. You know what that is? Being recharged. Like, okay, we could do this. It's a major task, I no doubt. But you know what? Because the Lord is on our side. He's the only one that can do these things. We've seen it multiple times. Matter of fact, we're writing them all down. Why? Because in the end, we're going to have a book of miracles. And you're not going to be able to deny it. That we've been blessed by God. You know what it ought to do? It ought to make us turn back to Him. It ought to make us rejoice with a loud voice. And let me tell you, it ought to make us recharged, revived. You ought to want to serve Him more today than ever before. Would you bow with me? Church family, thank you for coming back this afternoon and being a part of our afternoon service. I know that many times I've admitted to you that I really do find myself like the nine, more than the one. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish I was like the one and not the nine. But the reality is, I love the cleansing, I love the miracles, I love the supernatural. Many times I just go off and forget to turn back. I forget to rejoice and give God the glory. And I often find because I don't do those two things, I'm not recharged and I'm not revived and I'm not re-energized. But this guy, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And with a loud voice, and was able to go forward, recharged. And maybe you're here this afternoon, and you would say this, you know, Brother Jake, I love being blessed of the Lord, but truthfully, I see myself more like the nine, just like you. Brother Jake, would you pray with me that I would be driven to these actions? You know, it's amazing. All of us can do these actions. You can make a choice this morning, this afternoon, to turn back. You can make a choice to rejoice. You can make a choice to be revived. But it's whether you want to or not. Maybe you're here and you say, preacher, that's me. I want to be like the one. I want to be like the minority, not like the nine, the majority. Brother Jake, would you pray with me that I'd be like the nine? I'd be like the majority, not the minority. I will put these actions into my life. I will make the choice not to be like the nine, But I'll make the choice to be like the one. Brother Jake, would you pray with me that way? Hey, if that's you, I want you to quiet and slip your hand up in the air and say, Preacher, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Many of you in this room raising your hands. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Wonderful. Wonderful. Here's what I'm going to do. Just a moment, I'm going to pray. Once I'm done praying, we're going to stand to our feet. Pastor Travis is going to give us a song of invitation. God, speak to your heart. Hey, would you do business with God tonight? Would you decide, hey, I'm going to be like that one. I'm going to take those actions at the one. And one, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with that loud voice. Would you come and make that decision? That's all. Maybe you can use the front pew. You can't kneel. I get it. What's important is that you make the decision. Would you come? Father, thank you for today and, Lord, what you've done in our hearts, in our lives. And, Father, I pray that those here that have raised their hand, maybe those that didn't raise their hand, but, Lord, they really want to be like the one. Lord, we wouldn't be like the nine. Lord, we've all been blessed. We have met it. Father, would you allow us to turn back, to rejoice, and to be recharged? Thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you stand with me? Page number?
366.
366, if you need it. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Would you come as we sing?
Have thine own way.
Thank you, Brother Jake. I really appreciate it. Praise the Lord for the thoughts and presentations given to us today. Good things to digest and mull over and chew the cud on, right? And, you know, Brother Jake, you preach a lot of camps, and I'm sure that you get a lot of kids coming forward. And I know you know this, but I find that a lot of times decisions are made we never know anything about, but we still see the people coming. Amen. And so I always believe that God's working in our hearts. We may not, some may not, I wish we would come to the altar more, to be honest with you. But that doesn't mean God's not doing anything in our lives. I know that. I've come to realize that. Don't judge immediate results. We don't know exactly what's going on. A simple concept from the message from this morning and this afternoon really comes down to trusting and obeying, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Trusting what he said and obeying it. Leaving the rest in God's hands. Trust and obey. Just believe God. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Taking God's word for what it is, I believe you, Lord. I'm going to act upon it. And lo and behold, we get the blessing. Amen? And you know the one little three-letter word that gets in the way of trusting and obey? But. But you don't know my circumstance. But you don't know what's happened to me. But you don't. Yet God does. No excuses. Trust and obey. Amen. That was good. I appreciate it. What a wonderful meal today. All the guys and ladies involved with that. Thank you so much. There's just a few things to take care of. Tables put back and Matt's taken care of today. If we could do that, that'd be wonderful. If you could do that before we head home. But young people, will be praying for you that go to camp tomorrow, that God would minister in your heart and bless you, and give you something that you need. And don't think about anybody else. You think about what you need and ask God what he wants you to do when you go. You just focus on what God has for you. You block everybody else. People, peers, keep us from doing what God wants us to do. You block it out of your mind. And just say, God, speak to my heart, please. And that happens, amen? It sure does. All right, well, I haven't preached in two Sundays, so I'm ready to go right now. Are you ready? Not really. We're going to have a word of prayer. And thank you, Brother Jake, for being with us. Amen. Thumbs up, he says. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this day. And Lord, we ask you to bless our young people that will be going to camp. I pray the Holy Spirit would minister to their hearts in special ways, life-transforming ways that so many others will reap the benefit of. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take these concepts drawn from this passage of Scripture today and apply them in our lives personally, each one of us. And Lord, if each of us will, we all will reap the benefits. So bless us, bless Brother DeAndre and his wife and their house project, the ministry that he maintains through the summer as well. Meet their needs and guide and direct there, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And you are dismissed.